Welcome to the Shonen Geek, the Shonen Geek and Fast Fret podcast. Done.
Back for part two. Let's hit it.
Nothing like an issue.
We love you, Dave.
That guy, right? Yeah,
we love you, Dave. Dave, Dave, look, Dave, Dave. Now, Dave, you know we love you.
I just feel like we're gonna go into the Cheech and Chong thing now.
You want to say that'll be the song that Dave has to walk out to it?
Yes.
Oh, these yeah, are the days awesome. I know. These are the days I know. Oh man, that's awesome. So stupid.
Question for Jeremy.
Yes.
What brand of guitar are you playing in your videos?
Mostly.
I looked at it. It looked like Yamaha. And then when I saw the headstock, I went, no, that's not a Yamaha.
It's a Reverend.
Reverend.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to wear a collar when you use it.
Mine is made in Korea. Oh. I don't know.
Is that bought locally?
Yeah. Sorry?
Is that bought locally?
Yes.
Reverend.
Yeah. It was at Quest Musique.
Todd, it looks like you get a space on your wall there. You could put a Reverend guitar up there, I think.
Yeah, you might just have to come by. Now we know what you've got. We may have to break into your house and for a show.
Mine's called the Reverend Buckshot. Yeah, and I just love, I don't know. I like the, awesome. It wasn't super expensive. I really like the look of it. And
it's got a great tone. And you use a box for your, you're kind of playing around with other amps now, but.
Yeah, I'm looking at getting something.
What
else.
Is the guitar you have with the, as Dave calls them, the F holes in it?
My red one. That's a Washburn HB30, which is supposed to be like a Gibson, whatever it's called. I don't know, hollow body,
five or something.
With the F holes, kind of like the one, like kind of like the red one on your wall there.
It's an Epiphone actually. It's not a
Epiphone. You get nice feedback from it when you feed it.
339. Yeah, you can get some feedback with the especially.
Yeah, it's got some pretty nice,
wild,
nice tones.
Yeah,
that was my first electric guitar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you're still playing your first electric guitar? Is that? That's awesome. Yeah.
Dave's still playing his first kit.
It needs a little work.
We're poor.
I need. Yeah, but.
Spend all our money on recording, I think, is the problem.
Yeah, I know. I've been looking online right now. I've been looking into some. I kind of want to get a Joyo amp.
Oh yeah,
off Amazon. The
one's from AliExpress. What's it called?
The green one. It's supposed to be modeled after the Voxes, the AC amps. So, and I've watched a few YouTube videos on them, you know, reviewing them and stuff. And it's like, because like it's so small, but like you can
get the sound you need for especially some of the feedback.
Well, yeah, you just, I mean, you have a speaker still, right?
Otherwise, if all I hear is Dave, I can't hear you. I'm in trouble. Man.
But like,
I need to feel your guitar.
My issue is I like to use a lot of effects and I've been doing it wrong all these years because I've been playing into
I don't want to be right.
I've been playing into a Vox. AC15, which just has one channel. There's no effects loop.
Oh, so, okay.
And I run a Nova System multi-effects unit, and it has analog distortion and drive circuits in it, but that's all just going straight into the amp first. And I use a lot of different like delays and reverb and different effects, right? So those should be in the effects loop of an amp, right? And they would sound cleaner. It's like I'm playing the wrong amp for how
Maybe that's why we sound. Maybe that's why we sound different, though.
Well, that could be whatever. But I've been looking at anyways some other options out there. At least something with an effects loop. And
what were you gonna ask there, Todd?
No, I was just gonna say sometimes with the multi stomp boxes, or whatever, if you go through say a set of studio monitors or through a stereo, it sounds really good. But it kind of depends on on your equipment, but.
Mm-hmm.
But usually if you want like a clean amp, which is true to the sound that's coming out of your pedal unit.
Yeah.
I guess it all depends.
Yeah. Well, this Soul Declares, when we went in to record that, Steve,
our producer at Green Egg Studios. It's like a give him a plug.
Steve Green at Green Egg Studios, Steve Winnipeg. Green.
Great producer.
because of how my rig is set up, and it's not great for studio recording. He suggested renting a rev amp, the D20, and then we could run the effects loop, like my effects into the effects loop, and then whatever. And it was like we did it again and played it back to back, and it was like, oh, it sounds like crap now.
What am I doing? You're using the room a lot,
live it is different. It's totally different live rather than recording it in with a. He has a fantastic mic for the guitar amp, but it's still it's not the same. It's totally different live.
And he's a guitar guy too, so he knows. He's like going,
he's pretty.
Or you need to lay that down again. We're going to drop tune that part and make it sound a little thicker. We'll just blend it in there. You won't even notice it's there, but you'll feel it. Okay, sure. We just listen to him. I don't.
Yeah, he's pretty.
I don't ask, But when I do a vocal lately, he's been like, good. Shouldn't I do it again? No, you got it.
Don't you hate that?
Do it better. Then he's like, nope.
I'll do another one. Honestly, I'll do another one.
Yeah. I mean, I fought where I've said, I don't think the emotion wasn't right on that. I gave it away too early, or I wasn't invested. And he'll go, okay. But then he'll say, do it, but then double it. So I want you to double it in just this one spot. And then he just kind of blends it away where you don't notice it's doubled. Like sometimes you hear a recording and you can tell it's doubled.
Oh, I hate.
For sure. Yeah, that's really that over.
That always makes me nervous, having to double the same guitar line, especially if it's kind of complicated. It's like.
Yeah. Does he make you do that a lot, the doubling?
We've been doing that. Like pretty much all the time now. Oh yeah, just to beef up the whole sound.
Yeah, I just sit there in awe of the two of them. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I just write words and I make noises with my mouth.
I did notice on not the end, at the very beginning, it almost sounds like Lay It On the Line from Triumph. But
yes, you heard that too.
Yeah, but later on, like your vocals.
There's no way that was an influence. I'm sorry.
But your vocals are like a stereo chorus in some of the parts of the song. Same with the Prophet. Like you get that stereo chorus going out with your vocals. I didn't
do any doubling on those.
No, it's not a chorusy sound. It's not so much a double.
No, I'm
that was a long
sure.
time ago.
No, I mean, that's right. He wasn't doing all that doubling vocal stuff at that time.
But it might have been the effect, right? Like he was using.
Maybe he used an effect. I don't know. Like he made it sound huge. Maybe he put it through some sort of chorusing or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, live, I don't know. I felt like I was just performing it because that song really is a live song. So,
and when you're singing, you're belting it out. Like I'm amazed that your voice at the end of the night, like you can still talk.
It's in the old days. When I first started doing it, I couldn't. I was screwing my voice. I wasn't singing right. And I've learned to sing, and it sounds like it's loud, but it's not loud. It's just controlled and strong. I can.
Right.
I've learned now. I don't need to scream over the band.
Yeah.
And so I'm finding my vocal fry where I need it, and. It's a lot of, although when I hold notes, we did a cover of Radiohead, Creep, and I do that, especially those big notes after the second chorus.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And it feels almost like euphoric. I get dizzy, but it's like almost like, oh, it's a good kind of like, almost like you're a drunk kind of buzz.
Totally know what you're saying.
Yeah, it feels
I've really, hit that point too.
It's really a great feeling doing that song.
Okay, hang on. Let's hang on that for a sec. So does a guitar player get that same euphoric feeling like that note you're talking about when you hit that note? Because I've done it live. There was a moment where I can't remember we were playing anyway. And I hit this note and it was that moment where all of a sudden the audience just stops doing what they're doing and they start watch. That's when they really start watching. And I'm hitting this note. It's a long note. I'm starting to see colors in the room. I'm getting this euphoric feeling. Do guitar players actually get that?
Do you get that on Kalistar in that big note? Because I get a big buzz when you hit the note that in the solo, when you hit the, you press the pedal, it goes to that higher part of the solo.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, man. Like, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I don't know if it's the same thing but it, that you're describing, but every once in a while, I will have one of those, I don't know.
Religious experience?
I've heard someone else describe it as like a basic, like a musical orgasm. You just feel this all of a sudden, just like everything is just coming together. I don't know.
And the crowd's
euphoric. It is. Yeah.
It's almost like you're leaving. I've had
those moments from time to time. It's no question.
So it's not just me and Brian then?
I don't start seeing things. But
well, you guys is probably from the lack of oxygen.
That's what I was
thinking. Yeah, I think maybe we're concussed or something.
Could be.
Like, wait a minute.
You're not getting any fresh air.
Sitting down to a very dark, erotic path I don't want to talk about. But I mean, there's moments like songs that you may be having. We've had nights where it's like, I know this isn't our best show, but I'm going to keep pushing it. And then we get to certain songs and they just sort of save us. And I find it's like Soul Declares is like that for me. You can have a crap show, but once you get to Soul Declares or Not the End, those songs seem to really, they kind of just make everything work or make everything better. It's like, oh, okay, there you go. That's why we're here.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's like there's these spiritual epiphanies almost that happen in those songs. And I kind of lose myself, especially in Soul Declares. I lose myself in it. That's what all the weird movements and dancing. And I was watching the video going, what the hell am I doing? But it's, I get lost in it live. I'm lost in that song.
Your mojo rising.
Yeah, I just, exactly. I just go full Jim Morrison or something, or Tom York meets Jim Morrison. I just don't care what I look like. I'm just trying to get the song out and feel it. But we've had some fun. Like when we played the Honey Festival, we headlined that. That was wild. As soon as we finished, we end with God Park. We end God Park with these big crescendos, like down, down, and I'm jumping and jumping and jumping down to my knees and back up again. And then and they said, well, we want to do the fireworks on your last song. We want to know how the song ends. So Dave explained, we gave him the set list. The fireworks guy starts firing on like the third crescendo. It's like down, 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 and the fireworks behind us, ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. And I said, and he went, da, 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 and I did my vocal, good night. And it's like, blah, blah. So someone sent me a video of it. It's like the stage looks like this big, and it's just the sky of, like the Cochise video from Audio Slavers. I mean, it was just insane. And I was like, well, that's how you end a show. When did we become AC/DC? That was nuts. Really good fireworks. And it felt great. And I was like, wow.
A little dangerously close.
It was really, you could feel the heat.
Literally right behind.
And I saw Dave's eyes get really big as he's finishing the crescendos. They suddenly noticed there's explosions happening when he's like, boom.
They were like lighting them off like maybe 100 yards from the stage.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, the stage was dwarfed by it. I have to send you guys the video. It's on our TikTok and Instagram. It's just the stage looks like this. And someone shot it from across the street. You see the crowd. And then you just see this, whoa, the sky is just full of light, and there's this little tiny stage, and I went, there we are right there. And we're just all like, no. People were like, can I get you to sign this? No, because we're just enamored with it, because we never had that happen to us before. It was wild.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was one of those cool, those are great moments when those things sort of happen, and we're hoping for some more really cool moments. We're going to see where what this year brings us. So,
hey, let's create a cool moment now. Do you guys want to play something?
Yeah, this is song, one of the first songs we wrote. It's called The Comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see if it works.
Ready?
Yeah, sure. Start again the video cut. We'll try it one more time. Here we go. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh. Yeah, we're good now.
Sun down, sun up, start it all over again.
Nice. Very nice.
I couldn't hear anything, so hopefully it was fine.
Yeah, no, actually, the
it sounded really good. Really good.
The levels were really good.
Awesome.
Very good. Very good.
So what's coming up next? You have some show. You guys have been playing a lot. Like, that's the one thing I noticed is there was the period where I came on and kind of found out about you guys, and then there was kind of a quiet period. This was like pre-COVID, and then kind of through COVID, you guys, pardon my language, you guys said, "Fuck this, we're doing shows. We're going to do them live from, you know, from your jam space or whatever." And you did a few of those shows. Mm-hmm. And then once everything opened up, you guys have been gung-ho just playing and playing and playing and playing.
We got a taste for it. And it was like, now let's see what it would be like with an audience. Because it was very sterile.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like method acting. Yeah. It was like, I'm pretending there's people digging this because I have no idea. Because you kind of feed off that audience.
Tough.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was tough.
But now I think if we hadn't done it, it would have been very sad not to play live. I think it just felt really good to just... Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully people are enjoying this, but we're having fun. So.
Yeah. And so you guys have been releasing singles. So just single.
We'd like to record an album. Yeah, but it's just a matter of if we had the money, we'd go and record the album right now.
But what is the idea, to do an EP or do an album?
We have enough material. I'm sure we have an album. There's a bunch of skeletons of songs too.
So
ideally, we'd like to do another album, I think.
But for digital release and stuff, you're just going to keep, you know, pumping.
Well, you want to still stay relevant and stay out there and have an opportunity for people to buy your music and know your music, so they'll come to your shows. So
I think that's the new model now, though. Like, release singles. Like, there's some bands that they aren't doing albums at all. It's like, no, it's just everything's a single.
It's like buying.
There's nothing
albums,
wrong with that.
I like albums. So if an artist is going to put out an album, I want to hear a whole idea, and I think there's nothing wrong with that.
But once you have, you know, 10 or 12 songs or whatever, you know, whatever the magic number is, then you can put the album out. But then by that point, I would think because people are buying CDs again, people are buying vinyl, cassettes.
I'm looking into that right now. They actually, CD Baby is doing a thing with vinyl.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
3-week turnaround, which is pretty amazing for vinyl. Because up until Jack White was saying you have to wait months. Now it's 3-week turnaround for vinyl. And, but we've already done CD singles. We did we did some CD singles, which is going to have on it. It has Soul Declares. There's also a Soul Declares energy drink remix, which was done by a guy named Watermark. He used to live here, and I think he's in Vancouver. I'm not sure where he is. Is he Ontario? But he offered to do some remixes. I want to remix your songs. Okay, we'll send you the stems, but I didn't know how much you want for that. He goes, oh no, I'm doing it for free. I really love you guys. Because I sang on one or two of his remixes one time, and so he just is such a great supporter of the band. So he did this remix. He also did one called a down tempo mix, which is this slower kind of more almost like Moby like kind of ethereal thing, which is really cool. And then he said, "I'm going to create an intro for your shows. So if you ever guys need an intro, which is kind of based on that with no vocal in it." So I was like, "Hey man, do whatever you want. Just create away." Well. You know, so we're going to really, I think we've got the CD and it's going to have, so it's, the CD single's got Soul Declares, this energy drink mix. There's a radio edit. It's also got the down tempo mix, and it's got a bonus track, which is Calloused Heart, because those will all be on the same project anyway. And so those are done. And I'm thinking we're probably going to do that as a release as well, like a sort of like a monster single, I guess, and put it up on all the digital as well, so that'll be coming out soon. So that'll.
Did you ever think of doing, like, when you're releasing these singles and putting out a CD version of it to like pull a live track off the soundboard or anything like that?
We'd like to record some live stuff. I think we've got a few things that'd be kind of cool. We could do it. Even
I mean, you've got the videos like from like when you were playing in front of nobody, like space or whatever. But
we had someone shoot some videos of us too. We had a couple of fan videos shot from two different people of us doing the Radiohead cover.
Yeah.
And also early live performance of Soul Declares. It's not great recording, but the energy of the crowd was great. So, we'll have to look into that. I think that'd be kind of cool, because I think we're a good live band. I think the songs are much bigger live too. I think we always seem to surprise people that we can actually not just pull them off, but we actually kind of exceed them. And then almost after we've been playing for a while, we go, gee, you know what? I'd like to go back and re-record this. It's kind of growing.
I was looking at like what Apollo Suns does. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not.
Oh, but, yeah, they're a great band.
They're phenomenal. We've had them on the show before too. But when they release their EPs, they specifically put out stuff that's not available digitally. Mm-hmm. Like there's extra content on there, so it's extra live tracks, stuff that's never, you know, intended for digital release, because they're really pushing vinyl, they're really pushing CDs, that sort of thing. I think it's always a good idea. So I mean, if you guys had something off the soundboard that's only available on the CD single for, you know, for the next
track, that'd be a good idea. You guys do. Like acoustic versions of songs, you know, maybe go in.
Yeah, like that works too.
Space and just record a decent recording and let Steve master it and play around with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't.
I feel like we really need to push like the physical copies of things.
Yeah.
Like when Todd and I released our album last year, we did the same thing. If you want to go buy the digital copy, go ahead. There's four songs on there. But if you want to buy the actual physical copy, we had 11 songs on there. And
let's be honest, the sound is better. Is what we're hearing on, like, when you're getting it off iTunes or you're listening to it on Spotify, it's an MP3.
Yeah.
And that's why when I've done this, I've got so used to listening to Spotify, and then I put a CD in one day in my vehicle. I'm going to listen to this. And it was like, oh, yeah, this is wave audio. It's so much bigger than we've kind of just gotten used to this kind of smushed sound. And I think that's why some people are getting into vinyl too, because we're missing out.
Yeah, just bring up all the frequencies on the end.
Yeah, and the dynamics are so. You go, oh my gosh, why did I? Have we sacrificed audio for convenience? Mm-hmm. I think we have. Yeah. But
I mean, I still got my CD collection behind. I've got a stereo with a cassette player on, because I've been buying cassettes lately, because there's a few labels in town that they release cassettes, and that's all they release. So
I know there's
you know, it's great.
What is it? Universal Music Solutions, or whatever, does like burns and does all kinds of. They also do merch. They do buttons and things too, so they're really good. If you're in a hurry and need to get CDs for a show like in a week, they can have your CDs in a couple days.
Nice.
And so, but there, it depends on the smaller orders, you only get jewel case. If you get a bigger orders, you get like an actual cardboard kind of digipack or whatever. But
I know for
our last album was that,
like, for us, we've done all our own pressing, all our own recording, all our own mastering, like just everything in house. And I don't know, maybe it doesn't sound awesome, but I mean, we get comments, you know, when people listen on Spotify and stuff, and they're like, oh, you guys did this yourself? And it's like, and there's kind of, there's an ownership of it that way, and I kind of like that. But I will say, like, you guys going in the studio, like, the studio you're going in, like, the sound you guys are getting, like, it sounds big, and it sounds, you know.
That's Steve, yeah.
Yeah.
He should be a bigger
producer. Mess with that.
No, but he should be a bigger producer. I think it was like, Nashville artist Crystal Shawanda did a song. She wasn't happy how it was mixed, so she gave it to him. He remixed it and remastered it, and she released that version. So the Nashville guys weren't cutting it for her. And Steve went, oh, well, it's because they're doing cookie cutter. And he went, this is how you sound. He kind of makes you sound like the best version of you. Like, I've never heard, he's worked on everybody, hip-hop artists and country artists and folk artists. You'd never hear Steve. You always just hear that artist, but they're kind of like amplified. They're like, you know.
Enhanced.
Yeah, it's like you're hearing the best version of that artist. That's the best. Like Rick Rubin's like that as a producer. You don't hear him. Like, I love Daniel Lanois, but you can hear Daniel Lanois on YouTube. You can hear Daniel Lanois on Sneaker Pimps. You can hear him on Bob Dylan. You can hear him on like all those Robbie Robertson. You can hear him on those projects. It's
Brandon
definitely
Flowers.
Yeah, he did produce Brandon Flowers solo stuff too. Yeah, but so anyway, I love Steve. If you're looking for a great producer, and he's reasonable, and he will do the work, and he won't release it unless it's good. And he doesn't charge you for every freaking little mix you do. It's just based on the hours it takes.
Yeah.
He's the king. I mean, we go in with him and we will record usually three sessions. We get everything down. Three or four sessions. We get everything down.
Yeah.
Usually. And then it's all about the mix and the mastering for him. He'll get back to us after a week. I think I got a mix. And then he'll just kind of tweak it here and there. And it's like, yep, okay. That's where so he does everything in-house. Like, he does the recording, the mixing, and the mastering. So you don't have to send it off anywhere. And it's ready to go.
That's good.
But yeah, I gotta say, there's a really great scene in this city musically. It's just there. It's kind of hard. I know you said we're playing a lot of shows. We're trying to get into more shows. Like, we see some of these other artists are getting these great opening slots, and it's like, who do I need to know to get some of these gigs? Do we need an agent? I've talked to some of these bands. Do you have an agent? How'd you get that gig? We just have friends, and it's like, you know. And I understand people don't want to share what they're doing, but it's like, man, we're just trying to kick down some doors, because you just really need to get some more high-profile shows, because I really believe when we play live, we win people over every time. It's just a matter of getting in front of the, you know, in front of the people. Like, sort of like a chef who's got this food that they know people will like, but you got to get it on the plate, and so they can try it. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully, This year will be the year we get some more doors open and we can kind of get into some of these shows. We've been networking with a lot of cool people, so hopefully that will happen. It's a weird thing. There's a really great scene and there's some really great artists, but there's some you just can't. There's certain cliques you can't kind of get into. Yeah. You know.
And we found that too. Like when we were playing, like we're not young bucks, Todd and I. So, you know, it's like, well, we're not 22 years old. So, you know, I think there's certain shows we, you know, maybe we weren't going to get because, you know, because of things like that. Or, but then
with a lot of kids lately. So,
well, yeah, but you know, but like when we played, people are like, oh shit, these guys actually know what they're doing. And it's like, well, fuck yeah, we do. Like, you'll be doing this for a while, you know. But I mean, I think a lot of it's just, you know, playing and just proving yourselves, you know, and it's not going to be overnight, you know. Yeah. You know, so just keep going. You guys, you got the goods. So
thanks, man. Thank you.
Definitely. Thanks.
Well, we just need to get out there and show it to people. And I think we're slowly winning people. Like we're getting new. We've also on social media, there's been a real buzz, and TikTok's been crazy good for us because
that's
we've been finding these new fans every day. And I'll get a notification. Someone's using your song, your clip for your song for this or for that. And so, yeah, it's been kind of exciting to have someone say, oh, I mean, I'll drop into someone's live. They're doing a live talking about music. And I drop in and it goes, hey, this is that band I was telling you about. You guys. Oh, and I follow them. They go, you're following us. And then they play the song and they're like little broadcasters doing their live stream of music. And it's going in. They're getting the audio in. It's not like just someone playing in the background. So some of these interviews, it's like these little radio shows. And some of them are syndicated broadcasters who also stream live. So you can kind of tune in. They'll talk to people between the songs. You know, and you're like, oh, how's he? People, you're talking over the song. He says, I'm not going over the air. This is just us. You can hear the music. So it's kind of like, cool. That's sort of the new broadcasting is these kind of live streams and podcasts. This is like, this is the music journalism. I grew up listening to Alan Cross, thinking this was the pinnacle of, you know, music journalism. And George Strombolopoulos, who I got to really get to know. He's been really a great guy. He was in the early days of the band. He was very supportive and he's still, if he's doing a live on Apple Music or whatever, I'll pop in and he'll go, hey, why? I'm sure this is Brian, right? And he'll just start talking to me. And people in the chat are like, who the hell are you talking to? But, you know, he's just a great fan of music and a great supporter of music. And he doesn't have any pretense of, well, you're not, you know, in the in crowd right now. You're not the cool.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know, the media, was it the critical darlings? Was it years ago when bands would get on the cover of Uptown Magazine? It's like, he'll say, oh, I don't want to get in the cover. And I said, why don't you want to get in the cover? Because as soon as you get in the cover, your band breaks up. What? And then there was this weird kind of like, what are you talking about? Superstition of, I don't know, man. I just don't know if I want to be on the cover of Uptown because every band gets on there and then they break up. Like, I don't think that's true, but it's like, there is sort of this weird, like, we're like sailors, you know, and we're like, ooh, that's bad omen there. And it's like, why are we so superstitious, man? It's like actors with, you know, saying Macbeth in the theater. It's like, just relax, man. It's just rock and roll. There's nothing going on here. No, man, it was funny. Anyway, but there's some great bands in the scene. If you get a chance, check out Moonfield. They're really great.
Yeah, I'm gonna enjoy those guys for sure.
Yeah, there's some really great bands.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What's the website?
It's whytheband.com. whytheband.com, and there's the links to everything there. All our social media. If you go on our YouTube channel. We have all our links there too. We have link trees on all our social media stuff. So if you go on YouTube,
everything's cross linked. I was actually checking out all the cross links today. That's good. Yeah. You guys did good there.
Perfect. Yeah. Just hit YouTube. If you go on YouTube, just look up Why the Band and we'll show up, or just type in Soul Declares. We're going to show up at the top of the thing. So the song's still buzzing along. So, we're really grateful for the response that people have given the song.
Yeah. It's awesome. Good stuff. All right, we're going to cap it off here. Thanks, guys. Stick around after I hit the stop recording button. And thanks for coming on. We really
thank you for having us.
Thank you. Yeah. Break this calloused heart. Will you break this calloused heart? Will you break this calloused heart? Will you? Will you?
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week, and bye! Have a good day!
Hey gang, Sean Geek here.
And Fast Fret.
And we have two storefronts. If you are a TeePublic fan, you can browse our inventory over at TeePublic, which is teepublic.com/SeanGeekPodcast.
Or redbubble.com/people/SeanGeekPodcast.
You can get anything from either storefront, from t-shirts, stickers, phone cases, accessories of all kinds. We're talking masks, notebooks, mugs, pillows, totes, tapestries.
Oh my.
Oh my. Everything's there. Just go to those addresses. Also check the show notes and help support the show. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.